Welcome to the Trade Secrets Podcast, hosted by Damon Piatek, President and CEO of Welke Customs Brokers USA. Damon is a licensed U.S. customs broker and certified customs specialist with more than 18 years' experience in the import-export customs, transportation, and logistics sectors. Each month, Trade Secrets will bring you guests in the industry to provide their insights on timely trade issues to give you an advantage in international trade. So now, let's talk trade.
Welcome to the podcast. Damon Piatek here, President and CEO of Welke Custom Brokers. Today on the podcast, we're going to go over some real easy tips and tricks to save money on your importing with U.S. Customs, some trade advice. We've had a lot about the 301 and 232 duties and what's going on with the trade war, but I figured I'd switch gears this time and talk about some high-level tips and tricks to save you some money on your importing. And the first comes with tariff classification. What we want to do is make sure that you're paying the right amount of duty. So where this comes in is we see about 60% of tariff classifications are wrong, which seems like a high number. 60% of anything is a high number. But what I see out there is when I do an audit, or if I do even just bringing on an account, we kind of scrub their tariff numbers to make sure they're correct. And what we see really is about a 60% error rate. Now, what that could cause for you is really tariff classification is the basis of all compliance when it comes to customs. So if you got the wrong tariff classification, you're not going to be able to apply trade agreements properly. But really on the basis of this, we're looking at duty rates. So you could be paying too much duty, or you could be paying not enough duty. So a great example of this is I had a client way back that they were using a customs broker. We went in, we looked at their tariff classification of flight gloves, and they were classified as man-made fiber gloves. I brought them back to the office. I had to unstitch them and measure the surface area and weigh the gloves. And the uppers were made of Nomex. The lowers were made of leather. We ended up doing a binding ruling with U.S. Customs on these because it was 51% leather and 49% Nomex. The end result was is the tariff classification was leather gloves, which I thought it was. But we verified that with U.S. Customs through a binding ruling. And we saved the customer over $80,000 in duty the first year. So, it takes a little bit to do these tariff classifications, but we want to make sure they're right. On the flip side of the coin, if you're not paying enough duty, you have the possibility of a finer penalty with U.S. Customs, which could range into the millions of dollars. So they don't just look at one instance of that where you're doing it wrong. And a lot of you may know when Customs issues a fine and a penalty, they go back 5 years and look at all your entries over the past 5 years. So really, number one tip is to make sure that your tariff classification is right. Now we're going to move on to bonds. So what I'm seeing a lot in the industry is a lot of customs brokers / freight forwarders are charging single entry bonds on shipments to the point where, you know, it's really more cost effective to do a continuous bond. So really quick, what is a bond? What does it do? And how are you going to save money on it? So every shipment coming into the United States has to be covered by a continuous bond. And there's two ways to do it. One is with a single entry bond, or the bond that covers that one transaction. So you could be paying $60 for that. You could be paying $400 for that. You could be paying $500 for that. It all depends on the value of the shipment. The other way to do it is to buy a continuous bond from U.S. Customs. Industry standard on that pricing really roughly is around $500, but that covers all your shipments for a one-year period. And most importers really only need a $50,000 bond. So if you're paying single transaction bonds, take a look. You might be better off buying a continuous bond with U.S. Customs. So now we're going to move into something a little bit more complicated when it comes to customs regulations. But those are, we got two topics where you don't need an entry with U.S. Customs. And I'm seeing in the industry where lot of customs brokers tend to charge a fee for this, but there's no entry required. So they're really not doing anything. They're not processing. They're not transmitting anything to U.S. Customs. So you shouldn't be paying for them. And the first is a government contract. Anything that's under government contract being imported into the United States doesn't need a customs entry. You need a government contract number. And that has to be coordinated with Customs and Border Protection, but that's very simple to do, and that's something the transportation company should be doing for you and not charging you for it. So we're seeing charges as high as $80, $130, and it's government contract. There's no customs entry required. The second one that doesn't require an entry is a Section 321. And right now, it's anything that's valued at $800 or less. So anything that's $800 or less that's on a transaction doesn't need a government doesn't need a customs entry. And the easy part about this is there's some exceptions to that. So just remember, there's always an exception to the rule. So if we're looking at something that has other government agencies involved, you're not going to be able to get a Section 321 if it's a medical device. But general merchandise doesn't need an entry. And the cool part about it is you don't have to pay duty on a Section 321. So if you have multiple entries coming into the United States over different periods of time, you don't have to pay duty on those. It's a Section 321, and it has to be manifested by the transportation company that way. And again, there's no requirement for an entry on those, so the customs broker shouldn't be charging you any money. And we've seen up to, you know, like $35 fees for those Section 321s. But I do have to note on the Section 321s that there's new regulations coming out, and right now Customs is testing an entry type 86. It's not enforced yet, and they're in the test phase, and we will have more information for you as that comes out. But with the regulation changes, with Section 321 recently increasing it to that $800 level from $250, Customs may be requiring an entry with minimal information. So right now, Section 321, no entry required, but in the future, there may be an entry required, and that's entry type 86. And lastly today, we're going to cover carnets. So if you haven't heard about carnets or you don't quite know what one is, I'm going to give you a couple examples that's going to save you money. So a lot of people tend to use carnets if they're on international trade shows. So if you go to a lot of international trade shows and you're doing an entry, let's say you have a trade show in Germany, and then you pack up that booth and you go to China with it, and then you pack up that booth and you go to Canada with it, and then you bring it back to the United States. You're paying for customs entries on all those. That's not the way to do it. A carnet is the way to do it, and it's like a passport for cargo. As long as all that cargo is going to be packed up and moved, and it's not going to stay in the country that you're attending the trade show at, definitely a way to do it is with the carnet. So you fill out the carnet, you pay a one-time fee, it's good for 1 year. And as long as that cargo comes back to the initial country, so that would either be the United States or wherever your headquarters is at, as long as it's come back to that country, you don't have to do entries. And you could do as many of these as you want. You can go to Canada, you can go to Mexico, you can go to, you know, Europe, you can go to Germany, you can go to, and as long as at the end of the year it comes back, you're fine, and you pay one fee and it covers that cargo moving in and out of countries for the whole year. So the other thing that carnets are good for is, we'll tell you an experience here that we had with our customer. They have special equipment that does testing and a little bit of manufacturing for buildings. And these machines have to come down to different countries at different times and then back up to their headquarters in Canada. So he was doing entries into the United States, he was doing entries into South America, and then he was coming back with that machine. So every time he did that, did an entry for that machine, there was cost involved. This way he pays one fee for the carnet, and it moves from country to country every time, and he doesn't have to pay a customs entry into those countries, pay duties or anything like that, and then try and recoup those duties. So if you think you may need, you know, you may need some advice on these, please feel free to give me an email. The email is Damon, D-A-M-O-N, at Welke USA, W-E-L-K-E-USA.com. And if you have any questions on these aspects of customs entries, feel free to give me an email and I'll respond. So again, we went over proper classification, really important. You don't want to be paying too much or you don't want to be paying not enough. Both are bad. You know, fines and penalties on one side and you're just kind of leaving money on the table on the other. And it's also a compliance issue. So single entry bonds versus continuous bonds. And then government contracts, we also went over very quickly. So if it is under government contract or if it's for government contract work, you don't need a customs entry. Section 321s, currently no entry required, and you shouldn't be paying for it. And lastly, carnets. So if any of that, you need questions on that answered, feel free to shoot me an email. Happy to help out. As always, we're going to keep the information flowing, and we'll be back with a guest next time.
This has been Trade Secrets, the podcast hosted by Damon Piatek, President and CEO of Welke Customs Brokers USA. Thank you for listening.